Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Good evening.
I tell you what, he is the most popular villain in sports.
Welcome, everybody.
I mean, you might deep down inside of you know that it's true, but you don't want to admit it. His job is not in jeopardy because the NFL is making money hand over fist. They are rich.
Point is, ladies and gentlemen, greed works.
Roger Goodell may be your whipping boy, football fans, and you may hate him and you may boo him.
Come on, Billy, come on. There you go.
He loves it. He loves it.
We are thrilled to be back here in Philadelphia.
I'm telling you, the guy eats that stuff up.
I would tell you that it's not awkward at all for me.
He's one of my favorite caricatures in sports.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's time to have some fun.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I've got to make it show.
With us as we morph into a Monday morning. I started to put a post up on our Facebook page and it's not making it easy. It never makes it easy for me. So I'll get back to it when I have another opportunity. But I will put a couple photos up, including one with Mom, who joined us on date night, Friday night, to the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra. And for those of you who have been telling me for years, no joke, this has been a constant theme for years. How come you haven't seen The Godfather? I can't believe you haven't seen The Godfather. How can you call yourself Italian when you haven't seen The Godfather? Anyway, it was worth it. It was worth the wait. I'm so glad I got to see it with my husband. Funny enough, I've had boyfriends, guy friends, colleagues, right? Because I spend the majority of my time in this business around men. So many of you have tried unsuccessfully to get me to see The Godfather, and I really never had the desire to see it. Until I realized it was going to be with a live symphony orchestra, and that changed my mind. And now I cannot wait to see the second one. I've tried not to read about the second one because I want to be sufficiently surprised and shocked as I watched it, the same as I was on Friday night with the original Godfather. Though I am bummed, of course, that Marlon Brando's character is gone. I hear he's part of Godfather 2 in flashbacks, but that's all I know. And some of the characters that are returning. Again, that's all I know. I don't know much else about it, but many of you excited to hear. That's not the most exciting thing that happened over the weekend, but it was a pretty sweet piece. And I did not mind date night with the moms. It's fun to have her around because it's her first time visiting us as a married couple. We've had to go to Texas to see our moms now for the better part of the last year. Well, since he moved in. But I've been traveling to Texas far more than my share. At least that's how I feel. And so now it was neat to have a return visit from Mom. And she's actually staying an extra day, a surprise day, because her flight was delayed and delayed and delayed so much. We finally went to the airport to pick her up and make sure that she didn't have to spend all night there as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. And then on our Facebook page, I'll make sure that I get that post up with the photos. And actually, Facebook, you'll be ahead of Twix because I'm going to share a photo with Mom there as well, kind of put them up together when I can have a chance to figure it out. I'm telling you, Facebook does weird things. They want photos in these weird arrays that I don't like at all. Why can't you just leave it? It's two photos. Let them be two photos. They don't need some kind of special array. Grumble, grumble, complain, complain. That's all I do about Facebook, really. I kind of think it's the devil, but it does serve a purpose. So I digress. We'll get back to the social media. Many of you on social media have asked me repeatedly over the last now 6+ weeks, when will you have a replacement for producer Jay? When will you name a new producer? How long is this going to take? And some of you have even been so bold as to offer your own opinions about who you think I should welcome as the next producer to the show. Just so you know the process, we've had 6 different producers who've stepped in, and I appreciate them, like Andrew, who's working with us tonight as well as tomorrow night. 6 different guys. I honestly don't know this, so I'm being perfectly honest, not just because Andrew is here, but for anybody else who hears the show, I actually don't know which, I don't know all of the in-house producers, whether part-timers or full-timers, who threw their hat in the ring, so to speak, for this particular gig. I was told by the managers that they were handling the inside interviews, the outside interviews, and should it come to the point where we needed to interview candidates, if I hadn't made up my mind, well, then they would let me know who was available and who they felt like were the top candidates for the job. So I don't even know how many people applied for the gig. I know of a couple of names just because I spoke to them directly. You know that Ryan was here on the show a bunch. I know Manny has been here on the show a bunch. Colton ended up doing a show with us and then peace out, quit right on the spot. No, just kidding. He gave his 2 weeks notice, but he wasn't going to stick around. He'd made the decision to leave the company. There were a couple of other people that filled in. Nick as well. Drew. I'm trying to think if I'd had... I believe there were 6. I'm missing one. But like I said, the company didn't necessarily tell me which guys were the front runners, only that they were handling interviews in the first round and that if I needed interviews, we would take it a step further. As it turns out, we do not need to take it a step further. I am really, really excited about my next partner here on After Hours for a couple of reasons. Number one, we've been friends for a while. We are both original employees of the network, meaning we've started working together, not on a daily basis, but we started to work together and to cross paths weekly going back to 2013 when the network launched. So he's an original employee behind the double pane glass. I'm the only original host that's been here the entire time. And so we share that. In addition, he has a ton of experience. Before he started here with the network, he was working for our local New York affiliate, which I mean, it wasn't our affiliate before the network launched, but he worked for WFAN in New York City, the highest grossing sports radio station in the country. So he's worked there. He also has done education. So he's been a mentor as well as a radio station advisor and programmer at the college level. So he does what I do, different capacity, of course, but he does share a lot of the responsibilities of pouring into younger people, both here at the network as well as in some of his other roles and some of the other hats that he wears. And in addition to that, I respect him, not just because of his experience and because of how long he's been in the business and what he does to pour into others, but also because he's got a great sense of humor, he's very creative, and he wants to come work with me. So that was another reason that I was really excited when I found out that he was interested in leaving another show here on the network and coming to work with us on After Hours. You may know him as Pete the Body or Pete Bellotti. He has been the morning show producer. And by morning show, I mean the 6 a.m. Eastern time show. It's not fair really to call it a morning show for the rest of the country. But for the show that is currently Maggie and Perloff that follows us here on Infinity Sports Network. And before that, the multiple iterations of that time slot, he worked with DA for years. For those of you who know DA, Pete was part of that show group. And every now and then, he's made a cameo here at After Hours as part of our Chubby Bunny World Championship. He's done some narration and helped us out with Chubby Bunny. He's on vacation right now. Otherwise, we'd have him here in studio before the show is done this Monday morning. But because he's on vacation with his family, he won't be joining us until we get a little closer to the start of football season. I think he's back right around Labor Day weekend. And so he will join us. It's going to be close, but because he's experienced, I'm believing that he can handle it. I'm trusting him. We're going to be collaborating and brainstorming even before then. But such a gift to me and to the show that a veteran producer, an experienced producer, is willing to make a leap like this, to leave a show where he's established, a time slot where he's been for years, and to come and to work with us here on After Hours. Now, it fits his family style as well, actually. He and his wife, they've talked about it, and because they have two young children, this is going to fit their schedule even better. And so they've worked out a schedule and a plan where he can not only be there for his kids in the mornings, but he can also do the work he needs to do to be ready to be one half of our team here on After Hours. So Pete, he's not listening right now, I hope, although I did just see him like one of my posts on Twix, so that's funny. Pete, if you are listening, thank you. I can't wait to work with you. If you're not listening, but you hear it on podcast, well, the message is still the same. I can't wait to partner with you. And for those of you who are longtime listeners to After Hours, he is the most experienced producer I've had in 15 years. Even going back to my last few years in my previous network, I've not had a producer who matches my tenure in this business like Pete does. And this is not a knock on the guys that I've had, because I'm thrilled with the producers that I've had for the most part, not all of them. That's just being honest. But producer Tom, and Tom, who was the technical director, there were the Toms behind the double pane glass. They were excellent. They are excellent. They're still in the business. They've moved on to other roles. Producer Tom is now with the Jim Rome Show and has moved out to Los Angeles as an executive producer. Other Tom is now producing for Bill Ryder here on the network. Guys like Anthony, who is one of the managers on the weekend and producers. Jay, of course, left the business. Dave moved to another network. Chris is now in Atlanta, and he is producing, but he's also doing some shows on air, which is what he wanted to do. Pete, who was here briefly, is a high-level producer at one of our affiliates. So all of these guys have gone on to something that fits them even better, and the ones who stayed in the business are terrific and have found roles that they really relish. I'm pleased to have been a part of their development in this business, but each of them came to me and it was their first full-time job. Isaac, same thing. Isaac is forever grateful because I gave him the chance to be a contributing member of this show and gave him his first full-time job in this business. Now he works primarily in MMA and combat sports, which he loves, both on air and behind the scenes. And so each of them came to me as a part-timer, had done some part-time producing, but this was their first gig as a full-time producer. And my promise to them was, you give me everything you've got for as long as you're here, and I'll turn you into a world-class producer. And I believe that I've kept up my commitment to all of them as much as I could. In some cases, like I say, they got out of the business, and so that was their choice. They wanted to go a different direction. But I'm pleased with the investments I've made in each of them. As you may very well know, in your own line of business, in your own industries, that type of constant turnover and having to train someone new every 2-3 years, it's a drain and it's hard. And it feels like I've started over from scratch every single time. Again, I wouldn't change anything. It's made me a better host. I'm not a manager per se. I certainly don't get paid like a manager, but I do manage the show and I do have a very high standard. I'd be the first one to admit that the last 6 weeks have been really difficult and really challenging. I've had to lower my standards because as guys step in, it's a different person. It's a different thought process. It's a different way of doing things. And so every few days I've had someone different and I'm having to adjust to them rather than them adjusting to me. It's been challenging to maintain not only my own show prep and show content, but also try to pick up some of the responsibilities that have slipped through the cracks because we don't have a full-time producer since Jay left. But again, I'm thankful because it's made me better. It's made me even more committed to making sure that we have a standard of excellence. And that is something I share with Pete. I won't tell you much more about him, except that he is from Long Island and he does have very passionate sports opinions. So I'm excited to work with him and to introduce you to him. For those of you who don't know who he is from the work he's done on other shows here on the network, we're going to laugh. We're certainly going to clash because he's very passionate, but he is an excellent producer. he has a very high level of expectation, as well as very high standards for the technical side of the business, meaning how tight the show is, the different production, even the YouTube stuff. He's been working with other shows and they're being on YouTube as well. We're going to have to start slow because 3 days after he begins on the show, the football season kicks off. And our immediate job is to cover the NFL, right? So I am not naive enough to believe that you all, and I do know that you, many of you care about the producer, which I appreciate. But what matters most to you is the NFL coverage. That's what matters most to me. And so we're going to have 3 days, 3 days to try to get to know each other. I've never actually hosted a show that he's worked on. So it's going to be a crash course in us getting to know each other as partners beyond just being friends and colleagues. We already have that respect established. I already trust him, but it still takes a while for him to know my rhythm and for me to understand him and for us to get our hand signals and our eye contact and our nonverbal cues down. And then boom, we're right into football season. So it's going to be a slow burn to change some of the imaging and the production and the music and just the various ways that we promote the show and to find a steady rhythm in terms of our prep and to find a rhythm in terms of our social media and all those things. So football will be number one on the list. And yeah, because of the timing, we're going to have to hit the ground running. But I'm really pleased to share that Pete will be joining the show right after Labor Day and that he will be the new producer of After Hours with Amy Lawrence, my new partner, and we're thrilled. So Pete, thank you. Thank you again. And thanks to so many of you who were invested in this producer process. We'll probably make that announcement again at various points during this week. Again, Pete's on vacation, and so he won't be around for a while. But I also want to say just a thank you to Maggie and Perloff, who host the show After Hours. They've known about this for about a week or so, and just at my request, chose to keep it under wraps and to keep a lid on it, as did the rest of the company, because the word went out late last week. But they were kind enough to allow me to make the announcement, the public announcement here on the show. So I do appreciate their cooperation and their respect in that regard too. So yay. The first decision, the first step has been taken, and now it's about getting up to speed. That's kind of how I feel about it. Online at A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too. Good morning to you if it's a Monday. I'm sure that's how you feel as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on the Infinity Sports Network.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Pocket 2-1. All out blitz on the way. Get it up, Russ. Russ throws the ball to the end zone. It is caught. Touchdown, Denver. That is Courtland Sutton, his 8th red zone touchdown of the year. 15-yard touchdown, Wilson to Sutton.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
Well, and that was Dave Logan on the Broncos radio network, longtime play-by-play voice. But yes, here is Amy Lawrence. I'm not sure I ever got used to Russell Wilson in a Broncos uniform after the decade that he spent with Seattle, and it was really jarring to see him on Saturday in the black and gold. I'm sorry, it was just odd. I'm sure I'll get used to it. Maybe I won't get used to it. Maybe Steelers fans aren't used to it, but this is the sitch. This is the sit rep, if you will. It's Russell Wilson, it's Justin Fields, and neither quarterback had a ton of success moving the offense for the second weekend of the preseason. So this is now a pattern. I'm sure it's all too familiar for some Steelers fans, but the first team offense, the first teamers, didn't get any points on the board. And I'm not going to tell you the score because that does not matter against the Bills. I think it's really funny when people, anchors sometimes, pass along preseason football scores. When and how in the world does that matter? But the issue, of course, is that neither Russell Wilson nor Justin Fields have had much success running the offense yet. So Russ made his preseason debut. Remember, he was limited by the calf injury kind of early in the preseason. They weren't in a hurry to get him back. They had Justin Fields working with the ones for a while. But everything I've heard, and this goes back to even last week when I did a conversation or had an interview here on After Hours, the gist of it for the Steelers is that unless something goes horribly wrong with Russell Wilson, well, then you're not going to have a change at QB1. Right? Something would have to go horribly wrong with Russ for there to be a change. I don't know that this classifies as horribly wrong. It's certainly not an injury, so he's healthy. But 5 series, no points, and here to me is the most concerning. It's not so much about what throws he did or didn't make, because he's still learning the receivers as well. But the O-line gave up 3 sacks in the first 3 series. Now, Russ used to be a guy who could move around more and protect himself, but he's in his mid-30s. And so you put pressure on him against what is a relatively new-ish offensive line for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I was hoping that it would be a little better. We'll see. They need some time, consistency. It's preseason. All of those things matter. But to have him be unable to protect himself or be making the choice not to get rid of the football at 35 years old, he's not as mobile as he used to be. And so he gave up, the offensive line gave up 3 sacks right away. And that's got to feel all too familiar for Russ going back to his, I guess, we'll call it the final third of his tenure in Seattle, where he was getting sacked mercilessly. But when he's younger and he's got fresher legs, he can move around a little more easily and maybe avoid some of that stuff. That's likely not going to happen with the Steelers. And so, yeah, he completed a bunch of passes, but they only got one first down in 5 series, and they were under 2 yards per play. Now, with Justin Fields, it wasn't a whole lot better. I did see a couple of fantastic throws that he made, but just a single field goal in 5 series when the offense was being run by Justin Fields. So Mike Tomlin asked about the offensive struggles following this game.
Still not winning enough possession downs on offense, particularly early, in an effort to establish rhythm and game plays and develop personality and so forth. When you're not winning possession downs at the early portions of the game, all of those things really get stymied. Included in that, but also separate from that, I just thought we didn't do a good enough job of protecting the quarterback. We got to do a better job in pass protection than we did, not only in possession downs, but just in general. And I was really upfront with the group about it. In that regard, that can't be a problem for us.
So he's talking about possession downs where you are mitigating the difficulty on third down by picking up 5 yards, picking up 3 yards. You don't want to have third and longs. Third and short, if you get to third down, third and short is a lot more manageable and it's a lot easier to navigate than third and long, third and 8, third and 9. So those possession downs, not that you wouldn't love to move the chains on every single snap, but that's not realistic because you're also dealing with terrific defenses and defensive coordinators who get paid too. All right, so those possession downs are the ones where you're just trying to move a little closer to that first down marker. Make it easier on third down. If you can do the work, the possession downs early on first down, second down, if those can be positive yardage downs, well, then it makes the job of moving the chains a lot easier. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I love the question from one reporter. Mike Tomlin has a unique way of answering, but I love that some reporter asked him, well, do you wish your first team offense had scored more than the 3 points?
in order to do that, you got to win possession downs. And we're just not winning enough of those right now. And so, you know, that problem lingers.
I love Mike Tomlin. What other NFL head coach over weekend number two in the preseason gave us the phrase, that problem lingers? Yes. Yes, it does. He's terrific. I don't want Mike Tomlin to be feeling angst over his offense. I know he's got great perspective. He's been in this business a long time. And not only are they still working with this whole quarterback puzzle, but they want to run the ball more. They've obviously got different receivers. I mean, there are some holdovers, but you're talking about an offense that had to rebuild its O-line last year as well. And now that O-line is adjusting to new QBs. In terms of weapons, hoping that Najee Harris and the run game can be a viable part of the offense. If you remember last year, they started out very slowly running the ball, and that was part of the reason why it was so tough for them initially. I think part of the reason why it was so tough for them with Kenny Pickett is it was a one-dimensional offense. Now, he had his own issues, but outside of Najee, then in the receiving game, George Pickens, to be sure, he's wide receiver one. Pat Freiermuth brings some excitement and some mooth at the tight end position. But what else will they get from their receivers, right? What else will they have? And again, can that offensive line protect Russell Wilson? That's a huge deal. Now, Mike Tomlin has said consistently that Russ is his QB1. He doesn't want to play this game of quarterback competition, though, again, some people do see it that way.
It's somewhat of an incomplete study because you just don't get a chance to see him operate or us operate or us establish rhythm and personality when you're not winning possession downs. And we weren't. You know, the first three or so series of the game, it was, you know, three and out, and that's, you're not going to get an opportunity to establish rhythm or play the way that you would like as an individual or a collective.
I like that he mentions personality. Another word for identity. Every offense, every quarterback, every piece of that offense has an identity, but who do they want to be? And how do you get to that point without reps in the preseason? I mean, Russell Wilson doesn't generally play in the preseason. A lot of these starting quarterbacks around the NFL aren't playing in the preseason. And so it's hard to find any type of rhythm, which is why very often fans are conditioned now to go into the first month of the NFL regular season and just know that it could be rough. Especially when you've got so many quarterbacks on the move, you've got new offensive lines, you've got different receivers. That's just on the field. It's also different head coaches, different coordinators, new systems, new lingo, new language, new communication, all of those things. Which is why, say it with me, constant change equals constant losing in sports. Now, there was a ton of consistency with the Steelers at their quarterback position for 15 plus years with Ben Roethlisberger, future Hall of Famer. But now the Steelers are feeling what it's like to have a bit of a revolving door. They thought Kenny Pickett would be the man. It didn't work out, and now he's elsewhere. He was a flash in the pan. Mason Rudolph performed well at the end of last season. He helped to get the Steelers to the playoffs. In fact, I think a lot of Steelers fans that I heard from, but also inside Pittsburgh, just the chatter is, why not bring back Mason Rudolph? Instead, and I don't know that this was the first option, the second option, plan A, plan B, plan C, the Steelers get Russell Wilson. They feel like they have a team that if they can plug in a veteran quarterback, should be able to make some noise. And they do have some veteran pieces. I agree with that. Was he the best option? Well, they got him for dirt cheap. The Broncos were desperate to get rid of him. And it's the same thing with Justin Fields. They got him on the cheap. Whether or not we see Justin play this season, I guess that remains to be seen. But if they can invest in him as a quarterback and either keep him on the roster, because both these guys are free agents at the end of the year. So that's another wrinkle to this whole equation. Both of these guys are not only playing for their jobs, but are also playing with that incentive to try to earn a gig, if not with the Steelers, then elsewhere. Right? So the Steelers are not committed beyond this season, but I don't think Steelers Nation wants to hear that this is a rebuild. And under Mike Tomlin, as much as people get angry, he's never had a losing season. They may not be Super Bowl competitive, but they make the playoffs. And there's a lot of teams around the NFL that would take that. But as long as you're kind of stuck in QB purgatory, and maybe it's not that drastic for the Steelers right now, but as long as you're not in possession of a franchise QB, and I don't know that either of these guys is. I mean, Russ, just for his age, I think the Broncos believed he would be the next franchise QB, but that's not the case, right? That ended, that flamed out so quickly. So he's not the franchise QB. But you also have this Justin Fields piece, and maybe he could be the next guy, or maybe he's not. So there's so many question marks. At this point, it's not looking great, but this is how the Steelers will enter the season. And yeah, there's likely going to be some growing pains for either of these quarterbacks because of limited time in the preseason. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, what a tangled web. But here we are, just over 2 weeks away from the kickoff to the NFL season. Coming up, I was blown away, as I think many of you were, in hearing about the Matthew Judon trade to the Falcons. Now, that happened while I was gone last week. And as you can imagine, the Falcons are over the moon excited, whereas the Patriots maybe felt like this was the best option presented to them. So we'll look at the two perspectives coming up. And I know you've probably talked about it, heard about it on other shows, but I didn't have a chance to react to it at all. So, whoa. My reaction is, what? Whoa.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Here's Amy Lawrence.
Good morning to you. It's a Monday. I hope it's not a manic Monday. I hope it's a marvelous Monday. Glad to have you with us. If you missed the producer announcement, we have unveiled the next partner here on After Hours. I'm so relieved, although it's still going to be a couple of weeks until he can join us. However, you can catch it on podcast, the big announcement and the explanation and me raving about him and the chance to work with him. That was top of the third hour in the podcast. So if you have our link bookmarked, maybe you never used the podcast before and this is a good time to try. I usually share the link later in the day when I wake up in the afternoons. And so I will do that. But yes, hour number three is how you can find the announcement for the producer. And yes, we'll talk about him more over the course of the next couple of weeks. But I'm really excited about the prospects moving ahead. It is going to be crazy simply because he'll be starting on the show right before football kicks off. But he's got vacation with his family saved up. And I think that's great because he'll be ready to go. He'll be raring and rejuvenated and refreshed and ready to go when he finally joins us here on After Hours. Online at A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page as well, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Sorry, I was recording my CBS Sports Minute. Oh, it's not called that anymore. I was recording the Sports Minute, so I didn't have an opportunity to finish posting the photos on Facebook. I'll get to that as quickly as I can. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Now, you may have already gotten over the shock of Matthew Judon, premier pass rusher for the New England Patriots, who had been the subject of some rumblings only because he and Gerard Mayo, the new head coach of the Patriots, had had some strongly worded conversations, and we knew that Judon was not thrilled with his contract situation, right? But I was not expecting that Judon would get traded to the Atlanta Falcons. So I'm still kind of processing it. Certainly, this is a coup for the Falcons. So no way to debate or to argue. This is one of those situations where the Falcons had a gift dropped into their lap, and Raheem Morris believes the same. They're thrilled to get Matthew Judon in camp.
You know, anytime you can add a dog, really, to your group and have him be able to come and be a part of that, that is exciting. I think we have excitement for that. I think he has excitement for that. I think a couple of our players that actually know him personally have excitement for that. His reputation precedes himself. Having that type of recall from that type of a player and what he does and what he can bring to the table is always fun, particularly when you talk about adding to that group. You know, losing Trice was critical for us the week before, knowing he's out for the season, but being able to add him to Zoe and AK and Damone Harris and JSW and all those guys that have been out there working for us provides, you know, a quality player, dog mentality, potential game changer to your outfit.
You don't find, you know, guys like that that just pop up, you know, and you're able to acquire somebody like that before the season. So he's somebody that's played at a high level in this league for a very long time. You know, we got the same management group as well, so I'm kind of familiar with them, with the person that he is as well. And I feel like Terry and, you know, the guys upstairs, they've done a really good job of just bringing in really good football players, but really good people as well.
And so that is the endorsement, the ringing endorsement of new head coach Raheem Morris. He and Judon will be starting with the Falcons the same year. And also Jesse Bates, part of the secondary with the Falcons, who played last season and was a Pro Bowler and now is welcoming Matthew Judon. And of course they rave about him for his ability to pursue and sack the quarterback. And the major crux with New England is that he's a free agent after this season. And Atlanta's trying to get a deal done before the season begins, whereas the Patriots and Matthew Judon were kind of at a stalemate and hadn't been able to come to some kind of resolution about his contract. And so he was unhappy, and the Patriots didn't feel like it was going to be worth it to continue down that road, not feeling like they could meet his contract demands. And they decided to flip him with what they could get. Now, I'm always astounded that a player, a veteran as talented as one who starred in a particular system, Matthew Judon did that, could be flipped to another team for a third round draft pick. Not saying third rounders can't make a major impact, but the player in hand is worth, in my opinion, much more than one in the bush, so to speak, or one that is down the road in the future. But that's what the Patriots got for him. And Judon will be an instant impact if he stays healthy. And we know he's one of the best players on the New England defense. Gosh, one of the best players in the AFC on defense. Meanwhile, the Falcons have been one of the worst teams in the NFL when it comes to sacks and pressures. And this was certainly not Arthur Smith's area of expertise, but blame the front office that, gosh, even drafting Michael Penix, there were people that were upset because they got their quarterback of the future when they had just signed Kirk Cousins instead of paying attention to what they desperately needed, which was help on defense. Tough, physical, hard-nosed pass rushers who will pursue. And I didn't realize this until I had gone back to do some research, but Atlanta hasn't had a guy get into double-figure sacks since Vic Beasley in 2016. You know what that was, right? Their Super Bowl appearance. I know it didn't go the way the Falcons wanted, but he was a piece, a major piece of why they got there. Since then, it's been woefully inept. Again, some of the worst in the NFL in terms of sacks and pressures. But Judon, who may or may not be a Falcon beyond this season, is at least worth a third-round draft pick to spice up that pass rush. Career-high 15.5 sacks in 2022. 12.5 sacks the year before that. He wasn't a Pro Bowler last year because he had the torn bicep, so he only played a handful of games to start the year, and certainly the Patriots missed him. But he had 4 years in a row of being a Pro Bowler. And again, among the best defenders in the AFC and a very prolific pass rusher. As for the Patriots, this is kind of tough, right? Because they felt like they had no recourse except to move on. And here, Jerod Mayo's first year, he comes from the defensive side of the ball, and they trade away Judon.
You guys know how I feel about Judon, and you know, obviously he's moving on. I felt like, I mean, it's a win-win for both parties, and I wish him nothing but the best. I always tell the guys these are long-term relationships, and nothing's changed. We've gone years without having a premier rusher, right? You know, Chandler Jones, the Judons of the world. But we were able to manufacture pass rush through our stunts and games and, you know, our game planning. So, look, it's not going to be one person. It's hard to sit here and say one person can replace Matthew Judon, both on the field and off. Both on the field and off the field. But I think we have a good group ready to go and step into those shoes.
Jerod Mayo has no other option, really, but to be positive about it. He calls it a win-win situation. I don't think it's a win for the Patriots. Again, you get a third-round draft pick. Maybe that's a win because it's you got something for him instead of losing him for nothing. And I appreciate that Jerod is trying to paint a rosier picture in saying that, yeah, of course, we've gone years before without having a premier pass rusher. And yeah, it's possible that you can still get pressure on that D-line without a star. But isn't that exactly where the Atlanta Falcons were? The Atlanta Falcons just went years without a premier pass rusher, and look what happened with them. They were among the worst in the NFL. I hope that's not where the Patriots are headed, but I don't think I'd agree it's a win-win for New England. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Here's Amy Lawrence.
Good morning to you. It's a Monday. I hope it's not a manic Monday. I hope it's a marvelous Monday. Glad to have you with us. If you missed the producer announcement, we have unveiled the next partner here on After Hours. I'm so relieved, although it's still going to be a couple of weeks until he can join us. However, you can catch it on podcast, the big announcement and the explanation and me raving about him and the chance to work with him. That was top of the third hour in the podcast. So if you have our link booked, Mark, maybe you never used the podcast before and this is a good time to try. I usually share the link later in the day when I wake up in the afternoons. And so I will do that. But yes, hour number three is how you can find the announcement for the producer. And yes, we'll talk about him more over the course of the next couple of weeks. But I'm really excited about the prospects moving ahead. It is going to be crazy simply because he'll be starting on the show right before football kicks off. But he's got vacation with his family saved up. And I think that's great because he'll be ready to go. He'll be raring and rejuvenated and refreshed and ready to go when he finally joins us here on After Hours. Online at A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page as well, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Sorry, I was recording my CBS Sports Minute. Oh, it's not called that anymore. I was recording the Sports Minute, so I didn't have an opportunity to finish posting the photos on Facebook. I'll get to that as quickly as I can. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Now, you may have already gotten over the shock of Matthew Judon, premier pass rusher for the New England Patriots, who had been the subject of some rumblings only because he and Jerod Mayo, the new head coach of the Patriots, had had some strongly worded conversations. And we knew that Judon was not thrilled with his contract situation, right? But I was not expecting that Judon would get traded to the Atlanta Falcons. So I'm still kind of processing it. Certainly, this is a coup for the Falcons. So no way to debate or to argue. This is one of those situations where the Falcons had a gift dropped into their lap, and Raheem Morris believes the same. They're thrilled to get Matthew Judon in camp.
You know, anytime you can add a dog, really, to your group and have him be able to come and be a part of that, that is exciting. I think we have excitement for that. I think he has excitement for that. I think a couple of our players that actually know him personally have excitement for that. His reputation precedes himself. Having that type of recall from that type of a player and what he does and what he can bring to the table is always fun, particularly when you talk about adding to that group. You know, losing Trice was critical for us the week before, knowing he's out for the season, but being able to add him to Zoe and AK and Damone Harris and JSW and all those guys that have been out there working for us provides, you know, a quality player, dog mentality, potential game changer to your outfit.
You don't find little guys like that that just pop up, you know, and you're able to acquire somebody like that before the season. So he's somebody that's played at a high level in this league for a very long time. You know, we got the same management group as well, so I'm kind of familiar with them, with the person that he is as well. And I feel like Terry and, you know, the guys upstairs, they've done a really good job of just bringing in really good football players, but really good people as well.
And so that is the endorsement, the ringing endorsement of new head coach Raheem Morris. He and Judon will be starting with the Falcons the same year. And also Jesse Bates, part of the secondary with the Falcons, who played last season and was a Pro Bowler and now is welcoming Matthew Judon. And of course they rave about him for his ability to pursue and sack the quarterback. And the major crux with New England is that he's a free agent after this season. And Atlanta's trying to get a deal done before the season begins, whereas the Patriots and Matthew Judon were kind of at a stalemate and hadn't been able to come to some kind of resolution about his contract. And so he was unhappy, and the Patriots didn't feel like it was going to be worth it to continue down that road, not feeling like they could meet his contract demands. And they decided to flip him with what they could get. Now, I'm always astounded that a player, a veteran as talented as one who starred in a particular system, Matthew Judon did that, could be flipped to another team for a third round draft pick. Not saying third rounders can't make a major impact, but the player in hand is worth, in my opinion, much more than one in the bush, so to speak, or one that is down the road in the future. But that's what the Patriots got for him. And Judon will be an instant impact if he stays healthy. And we know he's one of the best players on the New England defense. Gosh, one of the best players in the AFC on defense. Meanwhile, the Falcons have been one of the worst teams in the NFL when it comes to sacks and pressures. And this was certainly not Arthur Smith's area of expertise, but blame the front office that, gosh, even drafting Michael Penix, there were people that were upset because they got their quarterback of the future when they had just signed Kirk Cousins instead of paying attention to what they desperately needed, which was help on defense. Tough, physical, hard-nosed pass rushers who will pursue. And I didn't realize this until I had gone back to do some research, but Atlanta hasn't had a guy get into double-figure sacks since Vic Beasley in 2016. You know what that was, right? Their Super Bowl appearance. I know it didn't go the way the Falcons wanted, but he was a piece, a major piece of why they got there. Since then, it's been woefully inept. Again, some of the worst in the NFL in terms of sacks and pressures. But Judon, who may or may not be a Falcon beyond this season, is at least worth a third-round draft pick to spice up that pass rush. Career-high 15.5 sacks in 2022. 12.5 sacks the year before that. He wasn't a Pro Bowler last year because he had the torn bicep, so he only played a handful of games to start the year, and certainly the Patriots missed him. But he had 4 years in a row of being a Pro Bowler. And again, among the best defenders in the AFC and a very prolific pass rusher. As for the Patriots, this is kind of tough, right? Because they felt like they had no recourse except to move on. And here, Jerod Mayo's first year, he comes from the defensive side of the ball, and they trade away Judon.
You guys know how I feel about Judon, and you know, obviously he's moving on. I felt like, I mean, it's a win-win for both parties, and I wish him nothing but the best. I always tell the guys these are long-term relationships, and nothing's changed. We've gone years without having a premier rusher, right? You know, Chandler Jones, the Judons of the world. But we were able to manufacture pass rush through our stunts and games and, you know, our game planning. So, look, it's not going to be one person. It's hard to sit here and say one person can replace Matthew Judon, both on the field and off. Both on the field and off the field. But I think we have a good group ready to go and step into those shoes.
Jerod Mayo has no other option, really, but to be positive about it. He calls it a win-win situation. I don't think it's a win for the Patriots. Again, you get a third-round draft pick. Maybe that's a win because it's you got something for him instead of losing him for nothing. And I appreciate that Jerod is trying to paint a rosier picture in saying that, yeah, of course, we've gone years before without having a premier pass rusher. And yeah, it's possible that you can still get pressure on that D-line without a star. But isn't that exactly where the Atlanta Falcons were? The Atlanta Falcons just went years without a premier pass rusher, and look what happened with them. They were among the worst in the NFL. I hope that's not where the Patriots are headed, but I don't think I'd agree it's a win-win for New England. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.